Before I begin, I'd like to share a quote that Bever told Matt last Sunday, who told me yesterday on the phone. But it fits well, I think, not necessarily in every aspect of what we're going to talk about. But he told Matt last Sunday, he said, in other countries, Christians are persecuted. And what's different between that and America, Christianity is persecuted. And what's so dangerous about that is that's something that we can't see necessarily. If Christians are being persecuted, you can see that. It's on the news, you hear about it. In America, Christianity is being persecuted. And this is one of the ways that it's being persecuted. This is one of the ways that people attack Christianity. By this passage of scriptures right here, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This goes kind of along with, I guess, several of the other lessons we've had recently. This is what's on everybody's minds. All the current events that are going on. They legalized gay marriage in all 50 states. This man named Bruce Jenner changed his gender and now he's a woman. And there's several things going on like that. A man went into a church and shot a bunch of people. They're banning the Confederate flag. There's a lot of current events that are going on. And this statement is being made time after time within this. And what I want to show you is how this scripture is a misconception. People misuse and abuse this scripture every day. They misuse, abuse it. They don't know what it means. I mean, they can read, but they don't understand. Because studying goes far beyond reading. I found this picture on Facebook one day. And it shouldn't be funny, but it's kind of funny. And you can't help but laugh a little bit about it. And this doesn't have to do with judging. But this is another misconception. I want to show you how these misconceptions are so easily made. It's tough to read, I understand. But that says Luke chapter 4 and verse 7. This was at a funeral or a wedding or a party. I don't know what this was at. But this is a piece of paper. They printed this out and made it look all nice, sat it on a table. And it says, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. It says, inspirational Bible quote. Less inspirational if you know who said it. Well, if you know who said this, it was Satan. Satan told Jesus this. Satan told Jesus this. He said, Jesus, if you'll fall down and worship me, all this shall be thine. This is when Satan was tempting Jesus, and he was showing him all the wonders of the world. And that's a misconception in the Bible, apparently. Some people can get this mixed up and use it as an inspirational quote. That they're quoting Satan on this. You know, it's funny, but the sad thing is it's more sad than it is funny, the way that they misuse these scriptures. And Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 through 5 are just as easily misunderstood and misused and abused as that scripture is that we just looked at. So this morning we're going to be talking about judgment. We're going to be talking about not the final judgment, God's judgment. We will touch on that a small amount. We're going to be talking about how we judge others. And in Matthew chapter 7 verse number 1 it says, judge not that ye be not judged. And you know, we think about that and we think, well, we can't judge. But the truth is, we judge every day. We make judgments every day. The Bible doesn't say judge not people. It says judge not. Before I pulled out on the road this morning, I made a judgment that it was safe to pull out. Well, the Bible says I can't do that. And I realize I'm being slightly sarcastic on that. But the Bible says judge not. Here's another photo I found on Facebook. And it's this is regarding the scripture we're looking at today. Matthew chapter 7 verse number 1. How people in the world read this scripture today. Judge not, and they don't worry about the rest of it. Well, this morning we're going to look at the rest of it. This morning we're going to study the rest of this scripture. Because judge not that you be not judged is an iceberg. You see, this is a very big verse. A very big verse that people use every day. And we're going to study this iceberg this morning. Let's read Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 through 2. It says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. You see, people use this scripture whenever they have posted, oh, I'm so glad this man has changed his gender. This is so great. And if a Christian steps up and makes a stand for Christianity and says, no, I don't believe this is right, then they say, hey, you can't judge him. You can't judge her. You can't judge me for doing this. And when that's simply not true, you see, they read, judge not that ye be not judged, and that's where they stop. And that's not where this ends. Because Matthew chapter 7 talks about judging much more than that. And there's a lot more than this to this scripture. So the way this lesson is going to be set up is we're going to ask, what is judgment? We're going to look at what judgment means. We're going to talk about being hypocritical, the word mark. We're going to see what Jesus says, what he teaches about his authority to judge. And finally, we're going to close by talking about the Mount of Olives. So what is judging? What does this word mean? You know, when I was in high school, I did a competition in FFA called land judging. And it was a very tough competition. I mean, if you messed up one aspect, you would mess up the whole final product. What you were going for, you'd mess it up completely. My job was to judge the land, see how good the land was. Is this land class one, or is this land class so on and so forth? And part of that was judging a slope. And I'll just talk about one part, or else we'd be here for a couple hours if I was to explain the whole thing. But first, when you go out there and you're judging this land, they have what they call slope stakes. And one will be down here, and one will be up on, higher up on a slope. Sometimes it's nearly level. Sometimes it can be, you know, 15 feet of sloping over 100 feet. And you got to judge that. And you have to stand back, and you have to examine it, and you have to judge it. And some days that can be pretty tough. Sometimes you're not having a good day, and you just can't judge worth nothing. But some days you can hit them. And you see, judging people is the same way. Because you have to be careful. You have to examine it very well and make sure that you're judging with righteous judgment. Judging with good judgment. Judging with sound judgment. That's what you have to do. And you see, judging people is the same way. If you mess up, you've messed it up. You have to judge righteously. You have to look at the facts. You have to look at what's going on. You see, when people say judge not, sometimes they're right. Sometimes you don't have the authority to judge them when you don't know what's going on. Sometimes you don't have the authority to judge them. And we're going to look at times that we have authority and times we don't have authority. So the word judge there in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, that first word, judge not, comes from the word krino, the Greek word. It means properly to distinguish, to decide, by implication to try, to condemn, to punish, to conclude, condemn, damn, decree, determine. You see, what I believe that Jesus is warning about here is condemning these people. He's warning about two things mainly, and we're going to talk about both those. He's warning about condemning, and he's warning about being hypocritical. So let's talk about being hypocritical for a short while. I don't want to say that we're going to get this out of the way so that we can move on, but we're going to get this out of the way so we can move on. About being hypocritical, Jesus really focuses on this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. You know, we read the first couple verses that say, judge not, or you'll be judged. What does verses 3 through 5 say? What does the rest of that passage say? Well, starting there in verse number 3, it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So Jesus is talking about being hypocritical here. He says, if you have a beam in your eye, a beam is like a plank of wood, a big piece of wood. If you have a big old beam in your eye, why are you worried about the mote or the splinter, the speck in your brother's eye? How hypocritical is that? You know, no one likes a hypocrite. As Matt talked about last Sunday, you know, we have standards. And there's worldly standards and there's godly standards. And God's standards aren't the same as the world's standards. You see, you can get by with not obeying God's standards in the world. But you can't get by with obeying the world's standards with God. And that's how being hypocritical is the exact opposite. Hypocritical is looked down both by God and by the world. That's something that the world does not like. So let's look at this a little bit more. Another good passage about being hypocritical is in Romans chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and we're going to skip down and read verses 21 through 23. It says, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? There in verse 21 it says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? You know, I believe that we can be not only a hypocrite by saying, you know, Brother Britt, I don't think you should steal stuff, and then I turn around and steal. That's being hypocritical. But I believe that you can also be a hypocrite of the law of God. I believe that I say, you know, Brother Britt, you should not be committing sin. It's obvious, but you don't need to commit sin. If I commit sin, I believe that's also being hypocritical. It's just as hypocritical as being specific about what to and what to not do. When I was in high school, I got a story about being hypocritical here, and I won't use the names because y'all would probably know them if I use names, and some of you may know them anyways. There was a girl at school, and they have a dress code, and your shorts have to be so long or so far above the knee, or I don't worry about it because I'm not going to violate that code. But anyways, there's a girl who had violated the code, and the teacher sent her to the office, and I don't remember if they sent her home or if they made her put on some gym sweats or whatever, but this teacher made that girl go to the office. I mean, she got in trouble for wearing those shorts. Well, her daughter, who's in school, was wearing what people were laughing about that day. Her daughter was wearing the same shorts that day, and it was really aggravating some people. And this is what you'd expect sometimes from some people, but it was pretty hypocritical. And you know, people didn't really care for that. And, you know, nobody likes a hypocrite. You know, I don't think I have the authority to say no one should have a drink in here. I just don't think that's right. So that's what we're going to study about being hypocritical this morning. You know, no one likes a hypocrite, and I believe Jesus is strongly teaching against being hypocritical in that passage. If you read past verse number 1 and 2, even in verse number 2, you can sense that he's talking about being hypocritical. But especially verses 3 through 5, he's talking about being a hypocrite. And he teaches against that, and I believe he's also teaching about condemning. I believe he's saying, don't condemn. Don't condemn these people. Don't be a hypocrite. Cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then you can cast out the mote in your brother's eye. Let's talk about the word mark for a moment. I've got a couple passages on this. This is a concept, I guess, that I've never heard of. I never heard of the word mark being used this way to explain judging. But the word mark here is like the same word judge that we read in Matthew chapter 7. Okay? In Romans chapter 16 and 17 it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So we're told here that we need to mark those which cause divisions. We need to mark those which cause offenses contrary to the doctrine. We're to mark them. Well, how are we going to mark someone if we don't judge them? Am I just going to randomly select some people that cause these divisions and cause these offenses? Well, that doesn't make any sense. You must judge these people in order to mark them. You must know whether they are good, whether they are bad, whether they cause these things or not. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. We are to mark those which do good, and we are to mark those which do bad. We are to understand who is who. And we must judge them to know who does good and who does bad. And Jesus will teach us more about this in a moment. You know, parents mark other children, not their own children. They mark other children. They say, now, I don't want you to be going over to his house. I don't want you to be playing with him. He's not a very good kid. But they say, well, now you do need to go hang over with him. He's a good kid. You can go play with him. And we as adults do the same thing. We mark these people that aren't doing good things, things that Christians shouldn't be doing. We mark them, and we don't associate with them so much. And people that do good things, you know, we can recognize that, and we mark them. I think about hunting when I think about the word mark. You see, we mark a deer. If you're going hunting, you're going to mark a deer, and that's your target. So when you're hunting and a grizzly bear walks up, you don't even worry, because that's not what you're worried about right now. But then when a deer, you easily recognize that. There he is. That's the mark. You see, and we're supposed to mark those which cause divisions. We're supposed to mark those which cause offenses. And we're supposed to mark those for an example. So let's look what Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 33, he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. This is a very interesting scripture. If you look back in verse number 34, he's talking about, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. In verse 36, he says, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. What I believe Jesus is saying is, people are going to say things that aren't right. People are going to do things that aren't right, but they will get their judgment. Judgment will be brought to those people. He's saying it's not our job to do that, but we can judge. We can look at the tree and we can see if it has good fruit or bad fruit. We can mark it as a good tree. We can mark it as a bad fruit. We know just by watching, you can see. Everyone knows everyone in this room, in the community. They know you. They know Britt. They know Josh. They know everyone here, and they've marked you. Whether you like it or not, they know you as good fruit or bad fruit. They know you as a good tree or a bad tree. And Jesus says that's what we're to do. That's how the tree is known, by its fruit. We can see its fruit. We know if it's good or bad. But he says that, about judgment that they will receive. He says they will give account in the day of judgment. You see, in the day of judgment, that won't be our turn to judge. That will be God's turn to judge. That will be His time to cast His judgment. That's what Jesus says about judgment. That's what He says about the tree and its fruit. Well, then what does Jesus teach? We've read already in Matthew chapter 7, but what does He teach in Matthew chapter 6? Just the chapter before. See, He teaches about alms, He teaches about prayer, He teaches about fasting, He teaches about treasures, and He teaches about the concerns of life. Now, I don't have all these up here because there's 34 verses in Matthew chapter 6. If you grab a Bible, we're going to go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at these subjects here. Matthew chapter 6, beginning there in verse number 1. Well, I've got a chart here, if you'd notice. We have the subject. He talks about alms in verses 1 through 4. He talks about prayer, 5 through 15, and so on and so forth. Verses 1 through 34, that's the entire chapter of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus teaches about all these things here in this chapter. He teaches a negative way to do these things, and He teaches a positive way to do these things. A negative commandment and a positive commandment. He has a way, do not do, negative, and do the positive. So beginning there in verse number 1, says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, not to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He gives the negative, do not do. Do not your alms before men, to be seen of men. He also, in verse number 2, says, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Okay, in verse number 3, he's going to give the positive commandment. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. He gives the positive commandment. He says, don't do your alms to be seen of men. Do your alms in secret. What about prayer? In verse number 5 it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. There's the negative, do not do commandment by Jesus. And then in verse number 6 he gives the positive. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's the positive, do. Don't pray to be seen of men. Don't pray out in the open. Don't do it just to be seen. Do it in your closet. He's not saying literally, he's saying do that for you. Do it to give glory to God. Do it not to exalt yourself, but to exalt God. He talks about fasting in verse number 16. It says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. There's our negative, do not your fasting like this. Verse number 17, but thou, when thou fastest, there's the positive, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Next he talks about treasures in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20 gives the positive. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. He talks about the concerns of life. We're going to start there in verse number 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Verse number 33 talks about the positive commandment for the concerns of life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, Jesus, in this whole chapter, gives a negative way to do it and a positive way to do it. He teaches all these things negatively and positively. Here's how you do it. Here's how you don't do it. Well, what comes right after the concerns of life? He talks about judging. He talks about judging others. You see, 34 is the last verse in chapter 6, and judge not is the first verse in chapter 7. These verses are right up next to each other. You see, they're put in different chapters and different verses so that we can more easily find them, so that we can search through and use them easier in lessons, easier to find, easier to identify. But see, these scriptures are right next to each other. This was all written together. They may have been a different paragraph. I don't know. I can't say from how it was written before there was verses put in. So immediately after this, what is Jesus going to keep doing? He's going to keep teaching a positive way and a negative way. He talks about judging there in chapter 17. The negative, do not, and the positive, do. I don't have verses 1 and 2, but we know what they say. Judge not that you be not judged. Then in verse number 3 he says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull off the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? He says, don't do this. If you have a beam in your own eye, don't be worried about the mote in your brother's eye. You don't have authority to worry about the mote that's in your brother's eye if you have a plank of wood in your eye. Jesus says, do not do that. That is his negative teaching style of judging. So in verse number 5, he's going to give his positive style of teaching. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He gives a way to do this. He gives a way to not judge. And then he comes in verse number 5 and says, when you have cast out the beam out of your own eye, then you can come in and you can see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. And there's our positive, how to do this. So since Jesus has taught us how to judge and how not to judge, wouldn't you think he has authority to judge? Jesus has authority to judge. He had authority to judge while he was here on earth. And I believe we have the same authority to judge while we're here on earth. We can look and we can recognize. We've been given the steps how to judge someone. First consider the mote in your own eye, or the beam in your own eye, and then you can cast out the mote in your brother's eye. I got one story here to talk about Jesus' authority to judge. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 18, this is a man. He was sick, and there was a whole bunch of people following Jesus, and he comes in and he wants to be healed. So beginning there, verse number 18, it says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he had saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Jesus doesn't say what sin this man has. But Jesus says, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So if Jesus says that, the man must have had sins. Jesus must have known that the man had sins. You know, Jesus came not to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinners to repentance. That's the whole reason Jesus came, was for those that needed repentance, for those sinners. You see, and he recognizes one, and he makes a judgment about him. He knows that he has a sin. He's got him marked. He's one that needs repentance. He's one that needs forgiveness. And when that man comes to him, he says, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." He had to judge him to forgive him. He had to. Lastly, this morning, we're going to talk about the Mount of Olives. This is another story similar to the one we just read there in a few verses. Another way that this story is known by is the adulterous woman. And I tried to steer clear of that on the lesson about judging, you know, calling her the adulterous woman. But John chapter 8, beginning there in verse number 1, we'll read 11 verses. It says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people had came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" There wasn't any doubt that this woman was not guilty. She was taken in the very act. They knew that she was guilty. They all made a judgment of her. She has committed adultery. And that was a fair judgment. That was a righteous judgment. They know that it's true. And they made this judgment. Jesus made this judgment. He knows that she was taken in adultery. He knows that she had sin. And now these men are asking Jesus what he says. Verse number 6, "This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. All these men judged her." Jesus judged her. Jesus says, "Go and sin no more." He knew she had sin. He had to have made a judgment. It was a fair judgment. She was guilty. But he says, "Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she says, "No man, Lord." No one condemned this woman. No one condemned this woman. No one was going to be a hypocrite. Not that they had committed adultery, but they didn't want to be a hypocrite of the law of God. They had sin just like her. The penalty for sin is all the same. It's all the same. And he says, "He is without sin, let him first cast a stone." Jesus taught him a very valuable lesson here. And he's teaching us the same lesson. First cast out the mote of thine own eye. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then you can cast out the mote in your brother's eye. Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn thee." Jesus wouldn't condemn this woman. He said, "Go and sin no more." No one would condemn this woman. Their own conscience made them feel guilty enough they couldn't do it. Because they knew that they just as well deserved to be where that woman was. They knew if they picked up a rock and threw it, they were throwing it at themselves. In closing, I've got a few points on how to judge somebody. You know, we've read, first cast out the beam of your own eye, then you can see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Well, I've got a few little points here that can be used to carefully judge someone. First, obviously, is consider your own faults. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is what those men that saw the adulterous woman were facing. They considered their own faults. They knew they had faults. They knew they were worthy of the same thing this woman was worthy of. And they couldn't possibly condemn that woman. Yes, they judged her. They made a fair judgment. And they weren't wrong in doing that. But they wouldn't condemn her, because they would have just been condemning themselves. Don't be hypocritical, as we read in Matthew chapter 7. And use righteous judgment. This is going to be our last verse of the morning. John chapter 7 and verse number 24. Using righteous judgment. John chapter 7, 24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The word righteous here in John chapter 7, verse 24 means equitable in character or act. Equitable means just or true. So judge true according to character and act. Judge by how they act. Judge by their character. And judge it righteously. Judge it truthfully. Judge it justly. That's how we are to judge. You know, judging is very essential to being a Christian, but we have to do that carefully. You know, Jesus has taught us a way to judge and a way to not judge. We must follow those steps. We must look at what Jesus has said, what He has taught us, and how He judged people as well. Don't be hypocritical. We must use the word mark. We must mark those which cause divisions. We must mark those as an example. We must not condemn. We must judge righteously. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1 is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole lot more to that passage. A whole lot more that people don't see. A whole lot more that we've studied this morning. You know, Jesus said the tree is known by his fruits. Are we known by our fruits? Do we have good fruits? Do we judge people according to their fruits? This is the lesson this morning. I hope that I've said something that can be beneficial to someone here. I know it's benefited me. It's been something that's been very heavy on my mind the last few weeks. Something that you see on social media time after time. I had a friend that posted about the man that changed his gender, and he said, you know, I don't believe this is right. I don't believe that this is something that a Christian should do. And a woman commented on his Facebook status and said, you know, you can't judge him. You don't have any right to judge him. And Brother Ian commented on there and said, well, now you're judging him by saying that he's judging him. And that's how judging goes. Whenever you don't study the word truly, it doesn't make sense. There's no way you can't judge people. We must make judgments every day. You see, and if you say, hey, you can't judge somebody, you're judging them as well. And you're a hypocrite of that law that really isn't true. If we want to judge, we must cast out the beam of our own eye. We must judge truthfully and we must judge righteously.